now that we've passed the top of the hour, it is Wednesdays at 10, which means it's Wednesdays with... Dylan Butler.
Wow.
I know. I'm learning the technology, man. This is truly Caddies at Bushwood. This is really Caddies at Bushwood material here. So, first off, thanks for coming on a Wednesday. Did you, sir, stay up late last night for MLS After Dark?
I did, and it had so many potential elements for the true MLS After Dark experience. Perhaps most notably, David Ochoa in net for DC United, right? So anything, it seems like it could happen with Ochoa in net, but it was rather drab. So it was disappointing for the After Dark experience, right? LAFC scoreless in the first half again. This time they don't go and score five, but they get the goal they need. DC tries to play like a lower division English team would, I suppose, right? In the midweek and just foul and make it chaotic. They get Birnbaum sent off. You know, no Bale, no Chiellini for load management. But LAFC get the 3 points they need, and they continue this record setting pace for the Shield.
All right, so two things there that you brought up. What do you think about the openness, honesty, whatever word you want to use? The fact that you laid it out and LAFC is like, nope, load management. This was very San Antonio Spurs of them to just sit there and say, you know, no, load management, Bale, Chiellini, nah. And then it ended up with, I think, like soft tissue injury, which kept them from this match. But what did you think about the transparency of saying load management? I think that's the first time I've seen anything like that.
I agree, and I like it. You know, it brings about another potential debate where you mentioned San Antonio, right? And the whole, you know, is it a buyer beware for ticket holders? I mean, that's a whole different animal, but yeah, no, I like the transparency. It's not questionable lower body or, you know, undisclosed or right. They're out there. They're saying like, listen, you know, there's a lot of matches going on. It's the heat of summer. We need these guys down the stretch. So, you know, we rest them for this match and you'll likely see them on the weekend. So
when you look at LAFC, and I think to your point, maybe they should just play the second 45. So they should just go ahead and skip to the 46th minute the way things have been going. But yeah, it was weird that until you go a man down, it's just, you know, DC was just going to kind of slog their way through it, understandably so. I mean, you were on the north end of plus 1,000 in the juice boxes. And everybody was sitting there saying, okay, this is lambs to the slaughter, man. And so you're just going to try to manage your way through it. And they didn't break through, meaning LAFC, until they were a man up.
Yeah. And, you know, too, within that, there was that one moment where Crepeau's got to make a tremendous save. So even there, with all the things that you mentioned, DC very nearly could have been up 1-0 at the break. But having seen these last two LAFC matches closely, the 5-0 and this 1-0 against Charlotte and DC, it feels very kind of professional from them, right? Like there's not a worry about not finishing your chances in the first half. There's not really a big worry about needing to make, you know, push a bail maybe when you don't have to, right? Like they're able to rest these guys. They're able to go to their bench and still get goals. Now, that said, the other side of that coin is, are you relying on this, if you want to call it a formula, too much, right? Like, at what point could this become a problem where you're not firing on all cylinders from the very beginning and you just sort of expect to kick it in the gear in the second half and roll teams over? I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but... This trend these last few games could come back to haunt them at some point.
Who else is handling things professionally right now, just trying to continue where they are and not screw things up as we're getting close to the end of the regular season? Who's doing that well right now?
Yeah, I got USA Philly, right, on the other side of it in the Eastern Conference, where they were at the start of the year, we knew that they were a very good defensive team. Perhaps similar, where they weren't maybe finishing chances or getting enough chances in and around the 18, and they found that right through multiple sources, which I think makes them even more dangerous. Right, it's not a Joseph in the heyday, I guess you want to call it, of Atlanta juggernauts where it's one guy, right? It's not. It's multiple different guys who could score. It's the younger guys. It's the veteran guys. So they seem to just be handling it really well too. Like, they're playing some of their best soccer that you've ever seen out of Philly. You wonder though, is there another gear? Are they hitting their stride too early? Right. It's the playoffs are such a tricky thing because you have to hit it at like, it's almost like Back to the Future, right? Like, you have to get to that certain miles per hour, right? To if you hit it too fast, if you peak too early, you know, you could flame out, like I don't know, Revs last year, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's Tim Curtin, Doc Brown. Is that what you're saying here?
Perhaps, maybe, or is Ernst
true?
Doc Brown.
No.
But yeah, no, and it, if you're on a, I don't know, 4-game losing streak going in, and you don't have momentum, that also hurts you on the other side. But especially with it, again, it's being a one and done situation for the postseason, right? We don't have those two legs, so that makes it even trickier these days.
When it comes to the teams that are struggling, that didn't quite get the 1.21 gigawatts and the timing squared away, Seattle, to me, I know we're all kind of late waiting for Zombie Sounders to sit there, and it's like, yeah, okay, you're coming, we're waiting, you're coming, we know you're coming. What is going on in Seattle right now?
That is the $1 million of GAM question that you asked, because I don't know, like. We talk about law and order, right? Like, you can go to your board and you could put up different things that you think it could be. You know, could it be tired legs from winning Champions League? But that was so many months ago, right? Is it the injuries that have finally caught up with them? But they had more injuries a year ago to bigger players. It can't just be Joao Paulo being out injured, even though he's an integral part of their midfield. So I don't know, like, or again, right, like we talked about sort of relying on a formula, like, it is the fact that we're all like, they'll figure it out. Is that easy? Is that maybe even a little bit of what's happening in their dressing room, right? Like, are they even thinking that, like, we'll get there, we don't have to worry about it, we don't have to do that, the extra 10% that's necessary? Are they maybe relying on what they've done in the past? I, you know, again, this is all conjecture, but yeah. It's crazy because, again, I'm now, the closer we get to the postseason, I'm the less, like, my convinced Seattle will make the postseason, it is maybe down to like 60%. Like, I'm not, I was probably 75% before the Salt Lake match, right? Like, I don't know. And it's certainly trending the other way.
All right. So one of our viewers, Sam Williamson, says they put all their energy in CCL, so I give them a pass. They've also been the best team in the last decade in Major League Soccer. What do you think?
He's right, certainly, about the best team in the decade. They did put all their eggs into the CCL basket, but does that give them a pass for the whole year?
Right.
Like, that was back in what was that? March?
Sounds good.
Right? Was it something like that? Yeah. CCL final?
Yeah.
And we're now into mid to late August, right? So when does that not become a problem, right? Like, they've had ample opportunities, even if you give them April and May to deal with TCL, you still have 3 months or so of a buildup to be able to get points, right? And, you know, look, you look at their, they drop points in Atlanta, fine, whatever, right? You're on the road, Gutman scores a golazo. But, you know, it to Sam's point, you know what, too? I mean, it's also not the youngest team.
Yes.
So the combination maybe of CCL of injuries, maybe another team could deal with it better, say, I don't know, a Philly, right? Because you've got those young players who come in and just fill those spots. They do have some decent younger players, right? Danny Labeth comes to mind, but
and you lost Vargas to injury too.
Yeah, that was huge too. That was the other one I didn't mention before. That along with Jao Paulo, and you had a good stretch without Raul Ruiz Diaz as well. So I agree about TCL. I just wonder, does that give them a pass for the whole year then?
I think it gives them a temporary pass. I think it gives them a hall pass to make a pit stop, but I don't think it gives them a pass to go ahead and skip school for the rest of the day.
Yeah, right.
Follow up from Sam. He says, I just think their mentality was all about winning CCL in the regular season. I think they just kind of put it on the back burner and left it there to see what happens.
They did put all their eggs into that basket, but it's a club, and especially with so many of their nucleus, where, you know, they know about winning, they know about deep playoff runs, about winning MLS Cup. So like, I don't think it was a one or the other for them. I don't think that was ever the case. It was, yes, we are going after CCL and we're going after it in a big way, where they make all their big moves in the winter transfer window, right? They get Rusnak, with the biggest free agent signing in the league's history.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure Garth Lagerwey says, I'm doing all our business in the winter because we want to chase CCL and we're going after it hard, and they win it. But again, it's a veteran team that's played in so many big games, MLS Cup, other CCL, a lot of their national team, a lot of these guys are national team guys, right? So I don't think it's necessarily a case of CCL or nothing, right? Like, that's not the Seattle way.
All right. So since you mentioned national team, I'm going to go sideways here for a second.
Okay.
Christian Pulisic, the rumors overseas, alleged interest for Pulisic and his camp.
There it is. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Bring him the Tyneside.
So that's the rub here. He wants to go to Manchester United, Newcastle, Juve, Atletico were the three that were also mentioned. I fear that Manchester United, whoever's telling him Manchester United, that's a bad idea, Jerry.
Yep. No, I agree. And you know, I joke about Newcastle. That's my club.
Yeah.
That's my fandom. But the whole point of a loan move this year for anybody, or any move for anybody that's involved in the World Cup, is to get minutes, right? You need to be playing ahead of the World Cup. He's not playing in at Chelsea, right? So he's got to get minutes. I think he'll get minutes at many other places. I don't think he's necessarily going to get the guaranteed minutes at Manchester United.
So then where would you send him other than Tyneside? Where would you legitimately send him? Because, I mean, we've seen this in net with Matt Turner at Arsenal, who's probably going to be your cup keeper, Matt Turner. That's why Zach Steffen went to Borough. And frankly, I would sit there and say, that Sean Johnson's my number one when it comes to the men's national team, because he's getting regular minutes and because he is standing on his head for NYC. Where do you go if you're Christian Pulisic? You know, seriously, if you were the master of all transfers, put on your thinking cap or get out the Castle whiteboard and look at it like Castle. You know, put your case together. Where would you send Christian Pulisic if you're looking at the Castle whiteboard inside the precinct?
So I will actually put my Newcastle fandom to the side.
Okay.
And I do think it's actually Newcastle, right? Because he's familiar with the Premier League, right? He's played in the Premier League. So you're not going to have a big transition period there. Obviously, you know, new club, new players. But I think it's a team, obviously, that is in need of that type of player. So he'll get his minutes. I think if you go to Juve or elsewhere, everything is new. I think there's going to be at least a month or two of a transition, and you don't have that lead up, right, to the World Cup. If you give him, right, again, we're mid-August, right?
Right.
If you give him 2 months to get acclimated to Juve, for example, you know, now you're in mid-October, right, with the World Cup a month away.
Yeah.
So I think the easiest move for him and his comfortability.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. is to stay in the Premier League, and then you go to point B of that to play regular minutes. So now you take Manchester United out of that equation, and I think it's Newcastle.
Okay. All right. So steering the car back on the road for Major League Soccer. Going back to
the... And who would want to play for Newcastle? St. James Park, man, like 55,000 Geordies going crazy. It's a great, I've been there. It's a great game day experience. It's a great night before, the night after you win. Anyway.
And Darren Eales, you know, Darren Eales is now a part of the process. So
yeah, Miggy, you get Miggy with it as well, right?
So. Yes. Yeah. So what you're saying is that they need to get Miggy with it. I get it. I see where you're going. all right. So. Back to MLS here as I bring the car screaming back onto the road.
Yes.
But that's really no surprise. Who else from the weekend that was is the thumbs up and thumbs down for you as we go into a double match week in some regards? Who else was thumbs up, thumbs down for you from last weekend?
That's a great question, because I've sort of, it's weird, right, with our Wednesdays where I'm already kind of forward thinking. So I got to go back. So thumbs up, right off the bat, you got to say Miami, right? Where it's kind of crazy. Well, I'll do two thumbs up, and they're both similar. And no surprise, they've both made the biggest jump in the MLS power rankings. But Miami and LA, right? So massive win for Miami, coming from behind, albeit a little bit gifted against NYCFC. But, you know, now... Playoffs, it's not that soundbite like playoff, you know, it's like you could actually see it with Miami, which you've never really, other than of course the weird, you know, pandemic year and the extra teams and you play, but you haven't really been able to see that. And I think so much of that has to go to Chris Henderson. Like if there is no better candidate, I think, for executive of the year, even if they just fall short.
Yeah.
To completely turn around a team, and I've said it on here before, with all the constrictions that MLS has, to be able to turn your roster around, to be able to bring guys in, even look at the move for Pozuelo, right? Like, amazing, mm-hmm. right? A tremendous move. You've got Higuain now buying in. Now he's back in the lineup after sitting out for Campana, and he's hungry to show, right? So I think their win over NYCFC was big, and then the Galaxy, we have been hot and cold about the Galaxy, man. They have been so hard to figure out, almost like, or worse, I'd say, than Orlando out in the West, just because of their star power, right? We can't figure out Orlando either, but the Galaxy, huge, massive win for them. And another team too. I like what Vanny has been doing. you know, you recognize that there's issues. Now, a lot of folks will say your issues were on the wings, and that hasn't been addressed because you still have got Costa and Cabral there. But
exactly,
you get a player in and Ricky Pooch, who obviously, right, everyone knows about his quality. Who, by the way, just got his visa, so he would theoretically be available for selection for their game against Seattle. And what a game that, you know, should be when you look at games to watch for this upcoming week. But you know, then they make some subtle, seemingly subtle moves in the midfield as well, where you now have guys in certain positions that will complement your attacking group. And you know, look, I'm saying all this and they could lose 5-0 to Seattle, and I don't know if you'd even be surprised by that, right? So I'm not saying they have it all figured out, but on the weekend, I think those are two of the biggest thumbs up, I guess you would say, right? Thumbs down on the other side, you've got to go to Nashville, right?
Yes. Like, yeah.
How do you, like, you would think, and I've said it again, and it's mind-boggling to me, but Nissan Stadium, Nashville turned that into a fortress, right? They were the toughest home team in the league, or there, right along with NYCFC.
Mm-hmm.
Now you build an even better place, and it's just like open bar, right, on Lower Broadway. Like, everyone's in, and everyone's having a fun time, and it shouldn't be that way. And Minnesota does the same. That is, and then you hear Dax McCarty calling out his team. So not the best time in the Music City for sure.
No.
And then my other thumbs down, I'd have to go Red Bulls. Similar reasoning, right? Like, Red Bull Arena should be a place that's tough for other teams to play, and it hasn't been. And they're a team now where, like, Orlando, like, it's funny, Orlando's kind of been their daddy, right? Like with Orlando and Atlanta, right? The whole fun with Joseph and who's your daddy, and right, that Orlando knocking them out of the cup in a big way, and now winning at RBA. You wonder, we said Seattle before, could this be the year that Red Bull stopped their playoff streak, right? Like, you've got teams, Cincinnati, Miami, these other teams that are making a push and playing better soccer now, and the Red Bulls are not.
Mm-hmm. Red Bulls have lost 3 of 5. They've only won once in that run.
And they did almost nothing in the transfer window. Like, yeah, it's super disappointing. Like, if you give, you know, we won't completely go down this rabbit hole, but if you're giving grades for the secondary transfer window, for the summer transfer window, Red Bulls have to get either a D or an F. Because yeah, what do? They brought back a Kyle Duncan on loan. Fine, great. They brought in a young, kind of unproven Brazilian, again, on loan, right? Where he doesn't have a lot of time to get acclimated, right? You've got an opportunity to spend money. You've got a DP spot. You've got Tyler Adams transfer money in there, and they do nothing.
That's not good. That's not good.
Doing Jerry. Nothing is not good. No.
No.
All right. Unless you're on vacation.
True. All right. So then, since you've mentioned Red Bull, they are down here at SDHHQ tonight. Not specifically here in the office, but they're here in town playing Atlanta United.
That would be a bigger pitch than Yankee Stadium. Oh.
Wait, did you say that in your out loud voice? You beat me to it. All right. So Red Bull's here tonight. Must win for Atlanta United. You got to take care of all your business at home. What do you think?
Atlanta's playing better. Red Bulls have found the way to get points on the road, obviously, right? One of the better teams in that. But I like what we're seeing from Atlanta, especially they're not saving it for late, but they're finding ways to get late goals, I think, which is a sign of a team certainly fighting together and battling to the final whistle, which Pineda has talked about in the past. So I like Atlanta's ability to kind of continue to do that. And and get something out of it. Now their issue is, it's great that you come back and battle Cincinnati and get a point. You kind of need three, right? So you need three here tonight if you're Atlanta, for sure.
No doubt. All right, so let's take a look at the other matches here in the midweek, since you are now in your looking forward mode, since it is since it is now Wednesdays with Dylan. Toronto favored at home on the minus side against the Revs. My play in that one was the total. Take
the over.
Yeah, take 3.5 is at a +136.
Toronto at BMO over. That's the formula. Yeah.
NYC at RBA.
Yeah, right.
Hosting Charlotte, and Charlotte is now, as the show started, Charlotte was at a +500. They're now basically at a +530. I'm looking at NYC in this one. Charlotte got thumped on the road last time out. I think that they're coming back down to earth. Intrigue with Philadelphia going to Dallas, and then you've got MLS After Dark with Vancouver hosting Colorado. What about these other four?
Yeah, I think match of the day is Dallas-Philly, right? Because Dallas is, again, seemingly turned it around a little bit, right? Playing their best soccer. You love also their moves, right? Legette fits into their system, it seems like, pretty well. It's funny, Dallas almost, I mean, they've got the homegrown thing going, obviously they always do, but they almost have that feel of a Colorado from a year ago, where like they're the island of misfit toys, right? Like these different players who are kind of outcasts from other places are fitting in, an Areola, now a Legette. So, you know, that's worked for them. But yeah, I think their attack is looking really, really good. And Philly's got the best defense in the league. So, and Philly's attack is going well. So that should be a fun one.
All right. And then on the weekend, you've got LAG hosting Seattle on Friday Night Football.
Massive. Yep.
You've got Inter Miami at DRVPNK hosting Toronto on Saturday.
Another great one.
Minnesota, Austin. That one, I know a lot of folks are looking at that one. You've got Cali Classico with the twist, LAFC going to San Jose. And then on Sunday, Crew hosting Atlanta, Chicago and NYC, Sporting in Portland, Nashville and FC Dallas to finish the weekend. Some crazy stuff.
Yeah, the ones that you mentioned, I think, to me, are definitely the most intriguing. I think there's a lot of good plot twists there. Miami, Toronto, that could be another goal fest as well. Minnesota, Austin, right? Two teams that are playing really, really well. I'm not as intrigued, I think, with San Jose LAFC, just because I think LAFC is so good.
Yeah.
And now with the load management, you would assume you could bring in Bale and he'll do his thing there. But yeah, those, and then you're right. I think Nashville, Dallas, and then even, you know, like even an SKC Portland, like Portland desperately needs that win. And SKC could play a little bit of spoilers there as well. So I think as, you know, what is this now? Week 26. I think we're not quite stretch drive, right? We haven't, it's not down the stretch they come just yet.
Where's Dave Johnson when you need him?
We're turning the corner there at that last stretch, and these matches, as there's jockeying for position in both conferences, they're becoming very, very intriguing. There's no doubt about it.
All right, time for the promo. What's going on with OSDB and with MLSsoccer.com?
That's a good question. I don't even know what I'm going to write this week. I might do like a, I don't know, like a similar to what we're kind of talking about, right? I'll maybe break it down a little bit more, like five big questions down the stretch kind of a thing. The Americans invasion story just popped, which, by the way, it's funny, it came out Monday, and then Chris Richards later in the day makes his debut as well, right? So it's good to be an American in the EPL, which is another reason Christian Pulisic should go up the Tyneside to an army. So
yeah, at Dylan_Butler on the Twitters. Once again, Dylan, thanks for hanging out with us here in the midweek, getting us prepped on a midweek match week, and it's a double match week for those of us in fantasy. So the midweek whip around, it's great to have you as a part of it. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, John, thanks, buddy.
All right, Dylan Butler, courtesy of our friends at MLSsoccer.com, drinking out of the Yankee mug. And I know that you guys were staring at that. And with everything going on with the Yankees right now, as you see, and Dylan's still in the queue, so I can see him taking another sip of coffee from the new hairstylist outfit known as Yankee Stadium. So once again, Dylan, thanks for hanging out with us and doing your thing and being a part of it all.